Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery. I'm the rector of the parish. Joining me for the service of the word this morning is the Reverend Hannah Scorer. Before we get to our worship, I would like to update you on the process for our annual vestry meeting. If you're not an Anglican and you're listening in and wondering what a vestry meeting is, it's really just our annual meeting. Most churches have some kind of a meeting once a year for everyone to be involved in. So this year, St. James Westminster's vestry meeting will be on Sunday, February the 14th, beginning at 10:30. It will be on an online platform this year as we can't gather in person. The vestry report, for the most part, is ready and parish members should have received it by now or will get it very soon. If you didn't get a copy and you want one, you can call the office. This is the official notification that the canons of our church require us to give you that vestry is coming up. As always, we have a wonderful music team this morning led by Steve Hollowitz. Paul Grambo, Duncan Sizeland, Victoria Piovison are also involved. And today a special guest on the trumpet, Riley Stevenson. Many of you will know Paul Stevenson, who has been involved in music here many times as a guest. Well, his son Riley is a grade 12 student at Beale, and the projects that he used for music courses in this semester will be the prelude and the postlude today. So thank you, Riley, for joining us. As always, doing a marvelous job on the sound and recording engineering is John Gardy. We take a moment now to collect our thoughts, to still our hearts, and prepare to worship.
Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives make known your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the first letter to Corinthians. Now concerning food sacrifice to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or in earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat, so that I may not be the cause of one of them to fall. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we have an interesting gospel reading this morning, don't we? The man with the unclean spirit. It's a little bit rousing this early in the morning and such an interesting passage to unpack. But while there's a lot going on here, I think Mark is ultimately trying to say something very important, very central to Jesus's ministry. He's trying to tell us something about the nature of Jesus's mission and ultimately our discipleships as bearers of the good news. So we start in Mark, like Mark is wont to do, just jump straight into the action. We just jump in. Jesus is in Capernaum, it's Sabbath, and he's in the synagogue teaching. And just to throw in a dig, which by the way I love, Mark says, everyone's astounded by Jesus's teaching. They're all just gazing up at him, eyes as big as dinner plates or something. And all tea, all shade, Mark says he teaches them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Cool, we're doing great. Jesus is teaching up a storm and we're making fun of scribes. Then comes in the man with the unclean spirit. And he cries out, picture him just yelling across the room at Jesus, "Have you come here to destroy me? I know who you are." Pretty epic, right? This could be some movie scene. And then Jesus just says, "Get out." And it's gone. Like that. And everyone around him is amazed. And they exclaim again about Jesus's teaching with authority and how he has the power to command unclean spirits. Now, we could just look at this at face value and say, well, this is about the miracle of Jesus throwing a demon out of a person, and that's that. We could talk about Jesus's authority to command these things, what it means to be in Jesus's place. But I think what Mark is trying to tell us is something more. There's something more meta to this narrative. He's telling us something about what Jesus' ministry is going to do. It's going to upset the quote-unquote natural order of things. Because see, the teaching that Jesus is doing and Mark's snarky comments about the scribes, those are connected to the banishing of the unclean spirit in that they are telling us something important about Jesus's authority, but also how his authority is not like what currently exists. It's not like that of the priests or the Pharisees or the scribes, the people of the synagogue and the temple, not the people of the empire. It is not based around worldly ideals of power and might. It is completely different than how we conceive of authority. It is authority given to one who was born lowly, vulnerable, a baby in a manger. It is given to one who is humble. It is given to one who empties himself of worldly power, sacrifices his body to be tortured, who bends the knee to his followers and eats with outcasts and sinners. This authority does not rest on its ability to overpower, to oppress, to push others down, but rather rests on its ability to raise others up to new life. In Mark, we do not see the same energy given to establishing a clear origin story for Jesus as we do in the other Gospels. He does not dwell on creating a Christology, an understanding of Jesus' nature. Instead, he shows us Jesus as the one commissioned to declare and institute the reign of God, the kingdom of heaven. And through Jesus, we glimpse the characteristics of this reign, this new kingdom. It is intrusive and liberating. It breaks old barriers and shatters old hierarchies. It tears down all that is used to keep creation from flourishing. This authority of Jesus, it is about articulating God's love for the world that defies our conventions and reconfigures tradition. And it is that message that we are given to carry out into the world. We are bearers of that great hope that God so loved the world that he gives his son to show us a different way, to teach us with a different authority, to give us an example to follow of what it looks like when you love the world so much you don't need power or privilege, what it looks like when you love the world so much you can make other people and their needs a priority, what it looks like when you love the world so much you can give of yourself, not your excess, not out of abundance, but out of the scarcity of your own life or time or energy. And I know that that is a big ask, and it's hard to live up to that example. I would be lying if I said I could do it, because I can't always. But I could try. I can wake up every morning and try. Try my best to bring some light to the darkness. I can try every day to make the world a bit brighter, a bit more hopeful. And you can too. We have been taught by someone with great authority, my friends in Christ, that love holds more power than any title. And we have been sent out as students of radical compassion to rebuild the world in love. And with that, anything is possible. Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, even though it may him sad. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Jesus loves me, him died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia.
Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you now to take a position that is comfortable for you in prayer. I need to give you a little backstory before I move into the prayers. This past week on Wednesday in my morning walk, I encountered something, a spiritual moment that left me to ponder, left me to think. And I wrote about it in a spiritual reflection for this past Friday. And I'd like to use this story as a basis of our prayers. So I'll give you the short version, just so you know what happened. It's really not all that complex or difficult. I walked into a park in northeast London, about 7 o'clock in the morning, just getting light, a narrow sidewalk into the park, and all of a sudden, as I stepped into the park, the light was dancing around through a thin mist that seemed to cover the entire park. It was much heavier on the far side from me. There's a drainage stream that goes along the edge of the park, and the fog seemed quite thick at that side. So as I walked in, I expected to walk into the mist, the fog, but I never did. It always seemed clear. I turned around at one point and looked back behind me, and yep, there's the fog. It's still there, but I can't see any fog where I am. And as I got to the far side of the park, I expected to be enveloped by fog, but again, I could never really see the fog around me. It was always in front of me and behind me, but I seemed to be in a place of light. About 90 minutes later, I walked back through the park. Sun was shining brightly, the fog was gone, diamonds sparkling in the snow and on the trees. It was a beautiful sight. So let us pray using this image. God, we pray for when we see the fog ahead, as we often do in this time of pandemic. Help us not to go to what will be the limits of the fog, how it will slow us down, how it will scare us. But help us to trust. Help us to not fear that which might cloud our vision. As we move into that place where We feel that the mist, the fog is all around us. Give us others to walk with us. Give us your Spirit to bring us comfort. As we face a pandemic in this world which seems to surround us every day, as we hunker down at home, help us to find the support of others, if not in person, by telephone or Zoom, any way that we can to reach out and support one another. Help us to see you and to know that we are safe with you. And as we walk towards that time of seeming deep, deep fog, help us to stride boldly. Help us to trust that with you and with those who are around us, our family and our friends, that we will get through. But remind us as we walk along that we have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters, that we need to help them in their walk. The fog is terrifying for them. Help us to come alongside and walk together. Help us, Lord, to continue to look for that time when the sun will shine brightly. It will sparkle off the ice, the trees, and the snow on the ground. All will be bright. All will be glorious and wonderful. In these days, sometimes that seems near impossible. Yet we know, God, that with you all things are possible. Help us to be in community. Help us to see through the difficult times of life. Help us to know that we are all called to walk together. Sometimes leading, sometimes being alongside, sometimes following, sometimes being the one in need, sometimes being needed. Remind us, God, this pandemic is just a blip in our history with you, and an even smaller blip in the lengthy history that is ahead. As we walk through everyday life, help us not to become so focused on ourselves, our own needs, our own wants, the things that we are doing. Help us always to remember, even when it seems foggy and misty, to step back and to look at the bigger picture. To realize that we are not alone. We have you, and we have all those that you have gifted to us. Help us to not make it all about me, but to make it all about we in community. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, those that you love and care for, and those who love and care for you, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.